My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
James, how much time did you spend listening to going through Drake's videos yesterday?
The same amount of time I usually do.
Well, that's good. That's a good. You know what we haven't talked about? I'm low key with James. You know what we haven't spent one single solitary second talking about? And don't think I forgot about the Eagles and Jalen and Nick Sirianni. We'll just do that tomorrow. We haven't even.
Yeah, I saw that story. It's crazy.
We haven't even brought up that Lauri Markkanen signed that deal today.
Yeah, that was a lot of money for Lauri.
So they did the old James Hamm watch out for move with they did the renegotiate and extended his contract. That's how they got there.
They pulled a Sabonis. I think that's now called a Sabonis.
Okay. Well, that's what Draymond Green would say.
Pulling a Sabonis does not sound nearly as good as it like was. Oh,
pulling a Sabonis is a little sketchy, Ham, but we were gonna let you cook.
Wow. So basically what they did is we've talked about this a million times. Lauri Markkanen only made $18 million in the final year of his deal. Somehow the Utah Jazz, they had like $35 million in cap space at this point. Mm-hmm. And so they took $24 million of that. They stacked it onto Lauri Markkanen's current contract for this season to push him up to 42. And once that went up to 42, then they gave him 8% raises for the next 4 years after that. So he went from making $18 million over the next 1 year to I think it's 238 over the next 5 years, which is an average salary over $47 million a year, but a starting salary around 42 that goes up over 50, I believe.
Mm. Good for him.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
you got it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Is he that player? Is he that dude?
I don't know if he is, but the timing is right. You know what I mean? Like that's, I think he's really, really good. I don't know if he's the best player on your team, like where you're going. But hey, man, he was born at the right time.
Yeah, I think that's the discussion that Kyle and I had earlier. It's how do you look at this contract? I mean, I get it. It's, they have to pay somebody, and he's their best player. There's no question about that. But what would he look like on a championship team, and what kind of player would you expect him to become? And you're paying him max money. He's now, he's got the same contract that like De'Aaron Fox will have. And I mean, same draft as De'Aaron Fox, like the same contract that Donovan Mitchell will have. And I don't know. To me, he's not that dude. And if you find a couple more of those guys, you could run into problems pretty quickly. But maybe the Jazz don't intend on running into that problem. Maybe they intend on him being their best player for the next couple of years while they develop some of these young players and some of the prospects that they will get over the next couple of years because they own everybody else's first round picks. And then, he'll just be sort of salary filler as they develop their squad into something different. So I just, like, you put him on the, let's just, like, do the exercise. You put him on the Sacramento Kings. Is he your third, your fourth best player? You put him on the Boston Celtics, and I don't know, where is he as far as players? And that's what makes it a little difficult to look at a contract that's that high. You know, it's one thing to pay a guy 30-something million.
It's just weird that no one talks about the fact that he misses time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I find that like, I mean, it's damn near the first thing that comes up with Brandon Ingram, but it doesn't come up with Lauri Markkanen. Maybe after all of this, Utah has a direction now. Maybe it's like, all right, we have our money guy, and let's start to build this thing out and see how it turns out. Cause we've wondered, like, what are they doing? What are they going to do with these picks? They had all of this money. Like, where are they going with it? Right. Well, now they are starting, you know, maybe have established it a little bit. I still don't think they're as bad as Portland.
No, I don't think so either. Even though Portland's roster, they probably got more talent.
Portland's roster is not bad. That's the confusing part. But
I'd say Markkanen would be the best player on the Portland Trailblazers today. But again, I don't know. What is that telling you? But overall, I think they have stronger depth from top to bottom, Portland does.
Well, they have those guys that are trying to develop, too.
Yeah.
You know, Shaden. Well, you got Jeremy Grant there making $4 billion. So,
what do you do in a situation like that? If I'm asking both of you guys, like, if you're Portland, you've accumulated so much talent just kind of randomly. Like, I think there's a lot of good ball players on the team, but like, what are you looking to do with all that talent? Like, are you looking to get a deal packaging Anthony Simons, Jeremy Grant, player X for who? Like, you, for Giannis? For, like, is that what you're doing with the situation? Or you're trying to turn two or three of those really talented guys into, like, one unbelievable guy? Like, is that the plan? Like, how does that work out?
I don't think they've got what you're talking about. Like, they don't have, like, two or three guys that you can book in together and go get someone great. Like, I don't think at all. So what are they doing? I'm not sure, because the biggest question with, I mean, you understand what Utah is doing. We all understand what Utah is doing. They've got so many first round picks and they're trying to build through the draft. And, they're hoping guys like Keontae George step up and become something bigger. But with Portland, you've got those young guys, and then you have like some much older dudes that don't really make sense. And then you went out and traded two first round picks to go get Denny Avdija. And I like Denny, sure, that's fine, but for two first round picks when you're a rebuilding team, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, even though he's like what, 22 23, still, like, what are you building a team of? A bunch of 23 year olds or 21 year olds, 22 year olds? It doesn't work. I mean, let's just go back to the 2017 Sacramento Kings.
Do that.
Well, the problem is that they don't develop. Like, you can't bring everyone along at the same time and hope that they all develop together. Like, it's so incredibly rare that that happens. There's always one or two or five that get left behind. And I mean, again, look at the 2017 NBA draft. The Kings had the fifth pick, the 10th pick. They traded for 15 and 20. They also had the first or second pick in the second round, which was Frank Mason. And they brought in Bogdan Bogdanovic from overseas, all in one offseason. And one of those players is still with the team. But I think more importantly, like, realistically, two of those players are still in the league as like full-time, like guaranteed going to be under contract guys. And the other three guys kind of got left behind. And that's why you don't load up on all young talent. It rarely works like what's happening in OKC.
Hoops Hype came out with their list of top, I think it was 30 shooting guards or something like that. And they had Malik Monk at 14. Kevin Herter didn't make this list. Now, there's a lot of flaws with the list, mind you, but there's not a lot of flaws in Malik being 14. We could have moved maybe one or two guys out of the top 13 and put Malik a little higher, but it seems the overall like opinion is like Malik's that guy in Sacramento at that position. Do you think Mike and that coaching staff know exactly what they're going to do game one at that starting two spot?
I think they have a pretty good idea. Yeah, I think like they've had plenty of time to think about it and to develop an idea, but they also have to like do everything with the understanding that we don't know if this roster is fully complete. Like today was a big day because it wiped one chess piece off the board yesterday and today. We basically understood very clearly that Lauri Markkanen's not going anywhere anymore. And now it comes down to like, okay, well then who next? I mean, and for that matter, like Lauri Markkanen just went from an $18 million player that you could acquire for Kevin Huerter and a bunch of picks as far as salary matching to a player the Kings really can't even salary match.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's no way for the Kings, unless they start delving deep into their core, there's no way for them to actually go out and match salaries for a guy so like
you're
that.
You're trading De'Aaron Fox. Like that's how it works.
Yeah, you're not trading Fox, you're not trading Sabonis, you're not trading, you know, DeMar DeRozan, you can't trade Malik Monk for 6 months, you're not trading Keegan Murray. Even if you could, if you put a package together of the rest of the guys and included Keegan Murray, it would be Huerter, Murray, Lyles, and probably McDaniels to make the money work. It's that far off, so again, it just makes it really difficult to like sort of move around. And look, they can't trade him anyway, so it's not like like the Kings are lining something up. That's not happening.
Yeah, so to your original point, it just took a piece off the board.
Yeah, there's no longer a piece on the board. So now you got to like see what's left. And then you have to make reasonable decisions on how you're going to build your team because, you know, you look at Lauri Markkanen's contract, that's exactly what Brandon Ingram wanted. And that's why Brandon Ingram is still sitting where he's at with the New Orleans Pelicans because there are a lot of teams that are questioning whether or not they're comfortable, even as a salary cap goes up, with a player of Brandon Ingram's talent that misses a bunch of games, but for that price. And that I think with the first apron, with the second apron, and with the cost, the penalties associated with those aprons, you're seeing teams very quickly show that they're not willing to do that anymore. And maybe this was like the first time we've seen the NBA salary cap actually get curbed in a real way that just hadn't happened for years. Everyone always finds a way to circumvent the cap and then just pay the luxury tax. And all of a sudden we're seeing that's not the case with this specific situation.
They got him. James Dolan tried to warn him.
Well, he did. James Dolan on the right side of history. Man,
that's the first time that's ever been stated.
The temperature in hell.
Yeah, first time.
I want to talk a little bit more about that that shooting guard list, man. Because we were talking earlier, James, about Kevin Huerter not being on the list, and you know, talking to Jesse about first of all, Malik Monk is the only person. Him and Cam Thomas. I think Cam Thomas might be starting now, but for sake of argument, we'll say Malik Monk is the only one in the top 20 that's not starting. And if you put him in that starting lineup, do you have faith that the bench can hold up? Like if Kevin Huerter's still on the team, Keon Ellis is there, and Trey Lyles, do you think that the bench can hold up and still give you adequate production if you take Malik Monk off that bench?
Yeah, I think it can because you're going to stagger your rotations the whole time. So you're going to see, you know, the standard De'Aaron Fox goes out of the game at the 6 minute mark, comes back at the 9 minute mark. Domantas Sabonis steps off the court. You're going to still see that same thing where the starting five does not play together the entire game and they don't go in and out of the game as like hockey line changes. So I think there is a way for the bench to hold up if that were the case. But I would kind of make sure that Malik understood that if you are starting, number one, you have to play defense nonstop. There is no taking plays off. That's number one. But number two, your production just went from like, you know, 10 to 12, 13 shots per game to like 8 because you're now with a group that has players that are higher on the totem pole than you are. And I still like, if they do decide to start like the core as their starting five with Fox and Monk and DeRozan, Keegan and Sabonis, it's just going to be really difficult to balance anything for Mike Brown, because like how are you there again? It's the old one ball. There's only one ball. Like, how are you going to feed all of those mouths in the starting lineup? And the answer is there's no way to do that. You're going to have to like stagger these guys and come at teams in waves, just like, you know, like the Boston Celtics do. Like it's a problem to have, but it's also a good problem to have as much talent as they do have.
I think Kevin Herter, James, can do a lot off the bench. Obviously, we don't know what he looks like in that role, but I think his, you know, we've talked about, you know, potentially playing at the three spot for stretches, you know, depending on who's out there on the floor with him or depending on what Mike wants to do. I feel like the possibilities for Herter open up a little bit more off the bench than they do in the starting lineup. I know he won't feel that way. I know he's like every other NBA player who wants to start. But I don't think his place on this team is lost if he winds up coming off the bench.
Yeah, I think Herter, like, it depends on the mentality that he walks in with, right?
Very true.
It's not like he doesn't see everything that's been going on. It's not like he hasn't heard all the rumors all offseason long. It's not like he doesn't know that even after Harrison was shipped out that they were still looking to make another big splash. And the only way to make that big splash is to include his contract. So if he comes in with the wrong attitude, then, you know, he might not play. But if he comes in with the right attitude and like, I am willing to accept whatever role it is that you need me to do to help this team win, I definitely could see him actually being a really, really strong piece to this team. Talk about it all the time. When you have DeMar DeRozan and Domantas Sabonis and even throw De'Aaron Fox in that conversation, three guys that historically, not last season, but historically don't shoot either a high percentage or a lot of 3-point shots. You need as much shooting as possible. And so there should be a role on this team for a guy like Kevin. And hey, I don't think that he's not out of the running for the starting shooting guard spot. I just like, we can all have our preference on what we would do in this situation. But at the end of the day, it's Mike's job to balance everything. It's not just balancing, you know, who he likes best to put in that starting lineup. Sometimes it is about like managing egos and making sure that everybody has a role that makes sense and not leaving anyone behind and trying to maximize your talent. So if you lose a little bit from a guy like Keon Ellis, but you gain a whole lot more from a guy like Kevin Herter, like the give and take should be pretty substantial. But again, like my preference, like to build this roster out would be to start Keon at the two and have a really, really nice offensive bench with Monk, with Herter, and with Trey Lyles. And then maybe you throw some defensive pieces around those guys, or maybe you're playing eight guys most of the season, but that's a pretty strong group. Maybe you throw in a little Jordan McLaughlin in there or whatever, you know, some Alex Len here and there and Jalen McDaniels. But you know, I think you can score a lot of points with a bench that has that kind of like scoring punch.
Another thing that came about while going through this list is DeMar DeRozan wasn't on it, which means they probably classify him as a small forward. Is that what he is now at this point in his career, a small forward?
I mean, I think that's what he is on the Kings, but that's today. Again, they go out and they trade for, you know, Cam Johnson or Kyle Kuzma, DeMar DeRozan's your starting shooting guard. So, I mean, I think today, yeah, he's probably the starting small forward. Although there is a possibility that Mike goes, mixes things up and pushes Trey Lyles in the starting lineup, pushes Keegan Murray to the small forward, and then uses DeMar DeRozan and goes with a bigger lineup. That's possible. But I don't know. I think for my money, like defensively, he's probably a small forward at this point. Just because, you know, it's tough to stay in front of the elite speed at the guard position in the NBA. So that's where I would put him.
If Mike starts Malik or Kevin, Does he have to change his tone a little bit when it comes to talking about defense, given how well Keon played at that position last year?
No, he has to demand that, like, if you're starting and you want to hold on to your minutes, you better play defense. And if you don't, you might start, but you might play 3 minutes in the first half. You might play 8 minutes in the first half. Like, if you don't hold somebody accountable defensively at this point when you have depth, then I'm not sure, you know, what you're doing.
Is there a difference, James, in playing defense badly and not playing defense?
Yeah. I think, you know, you can have guys who are just bad defensive players. You can have guys who...
But they're trying.
Yeah, guys they're trying, but they don't have the lateral quickness and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of reasons why people are bad defenders too. I mean, we always think, oh, you know, a lot of it is because somebody doesn't have lateral quickness, or maybe it's because they don't have like a really big wingspan, or maybe it's they don't have the verticality, or maybe they don't have the strength to hold, you know, keep a bigger player from going to the basket. But you also have players who are out there who just have a low basketball IQ on the defensive end of the court, guys who have mental lapses, guys who get lost in rotations, guys who get beat on the back cut time and time and time again. Like, there are all types of different of bad defending in the NBA. Mm-hmm. I would say that's one of the things. Even with, let's just bring up Kevin Huerter for, like, Kevin Huerter is not a dumb defender. Kevin Huerter isn't out of position all the time. Mm-hmm. Kevin Huerter struggles with smaller players and with quicker players. That's to be expected. He's 6'7". You know, he doesn't have the strength to hold the LeBron James back at the small forward position. So he's kind of like a tweener on the defensive end, but I don't think effort, and I don't think like intelligence or rotations have ever been a problem with Kevin Huerter. It really does come down to like a physical limitation where, you know, it didn't matter how many times you showed Buddy Hield your defense defending back cuts, he still would turn his head and get beat all the time. And I mean, there were games where he got beat 4 times in a row on the same play. And so those, when it comes down to like structural issues like that, or just like lapses in focus, then that's a problem, right? It gets really frustrating for a coach. When it comes down to like a guy just not having lateral quickness to stay in front of Steph Curry, like, what are you supposed to do? You know?
Just a thought and just a question. When will we not use Buddy Hield for defensive lap?
Never.
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 Because I'm never. Just thinking, like, we don't say like Marcus Thornton. No. Not like that.
No, Buddy. Buddy.
20 years from now, it's going to be Buddy Hield.
Buddy was the kid, like, picking the grass when the ball was hit to his side of the field. That was Buddy on defense.
Well, that, and you brought up Marcus Thornton. Marcus Thornton was never an issue with effort. I thought, first of all, like, if you think back, he played defense with his hands way behind him, almost like a toddler running down a hill. You know how a toddler will put his hands behind him when he's running too fast?
Made me run faster.
And I always thought, like, why is he doing that? Like, he's got his...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Hands way back, like you're not getting to anything without, you know, using getting your hands out in front of you. Like there have been bad defenders again, like Terrence Davis got beat on the back cut quite a few times, and there were problems with the way that he would get lost in rotations, and that's why Mike would pull him aside like at every timeout and have conversations with him. Or it's why Mike would call multiple timeouts to pull Terrence aside to have those conversations with him. So there are guys that definitely just don't stay focused on the defensive end. And like, look, I think someone told me one time that worked for the Kings in my first couple of years that Tyreke Evans, he was great on ball. Right. And I'll say this about a little bit about Davion Mitchell as well. He's so incredible on ball. When the ball is in front of him, it's almost like when he has a ball in his hands on the other end of the court, when he's dribbling, mm-hmm. He's so hyper focused. The second the ball goes away from him, lost. And they said that Tyreke Evans looks like he's waiting for a bus. Like a lot of times he'll just be kind of standing there, like watching the action. And his guy is doing whatever he wants to do. And that's again, it's part of the problem that you have with some players that are so gifted offensively that from the age of 5 on, they've been the offensive superstar and they don't worry about playing on the other end of the court. And they just don't raise their basketball acumen accordingly.
All right. Well, shots at Tyreke Evans now.
2 days in a row.
We'll come back. We'll spend some more time with James Hamm here talking Kings basketball on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Hey, I ain't even going to go there.
By the way, you got like six go of them. You got like six
I
of them.
I can't go there. Don't worry. Why are we counting that?
Just pointing out.
Crazy, bro. I tell you.
Like, I got one.
Don't do that.
I got one.
Don't do that.
I got one of this brand.
Yeah. I thought you had two. But, I mean, yeah, one of that brand. Let's not talk about the other brands. You got a lot of 2Gs. You got a lot of 2Gs running around. Right. Shoes, belt, shirt.
Are you?
You got a lot of 2Gs running around.
Do you have something that you want to talk about? Step back. Oh, I know. Don't do that.
That bag back there. You sit. Move a little bit so the people on the TV can see your bag. Move a little bit.
Do you have a point you want to make to James?
I don't have a point I want to make to James. The James.
Nobody believes you're going to Kohl's anyways.
I'm definitely going to Kohl's. I'm going to get my little white T-shirts that I need. Stop playing with
me. He's going to go school shopping for the
absolutely
for the
going to Kohl's, man. Not come on himself. Now. Don't do that to Kohl's. Don't do that to Kohl's. I love you.
No. It ain't a shot at Kohl's.
I'm going
to Kohl's.
It's
a shot at you.
I'm definitely going to Kohl's. I love me some Kohl's.
Okay. He collects all the Kohl's bucks, and then you know he's got, like, there's some secret portal of Kohl's elite that has expensive stuff.
He's a platinum Kohl's elite.
Kohl's bucks.
There it is.
What time?
There it is.
My mom, she goes to DSW or whatever, and she Jazz was like getting something, and she's like, oh, Jazz, you can use my PIN code, and then, you know, maybe I can get some bucks or something like that. And so Jazz got the shoes and put her little PIN code in. It was, this alarm went off and like balloons. They're like, oh, Mrs.
Wait,
Brownlee.
Really? Oh man.
Like, Mrs. Brownlee, wow, it's so nice to see you again. Like, it's like, well, how many times you been in this place? Crazy stuff.
That's what happens. Steal the points.
That's what happens with Kenny when he goes to the Louis store. The balloons go off, and
that's what we're doing.
All of this.
What glasses
different...
you got on today? Oh, you ain't got that. It must be in your bag.
I got on.
That,
my
it must be. And what bag are they in?
I got on my blue blockers to keep me.
What bag are they in?
Yeah, I'm safe.
I'm just these just some regular old glasses. These ain't no label.
That's why Jasmine
I'm the everyday man.
Okay. Do you need those glasses?
Okay, pal.
No. I got a glasses appointment on Friday, though. I got to go to them and get my real glasses.
Are you getting real glasses? Instead of just getting the surgery, you're getting
definitely glasses. Definitely not getting
the surgery. It's not even surgery. It's just a little laser in the eye real quick.
There's no chance that happens. No chance. I'm getting the specs.
Have you ever had surgery before?
Mm-mm. I want to keep it that way. Only thing that's ever happened to me is I've gotten stitches. That's it.
Have you had your wisdom teeth pulled?
Mm-mm.
Wow.
And until it's an unbearable pain, it just, no.
No, that pain is unbearable.
It'll stay. Luckily, I don't know, just pray for me that it doesn't happen.
Look
now.
At God.
But
we're going to have to call him HSA account Kenny here anytime. Like, he's going
to. I'm just trying to maintain. That's all I'm trying to do, man. That's all I'm trying to do. But what I was going to say, and it's so far now, it's not even on the screen, but did you see the quote, although there were some dot, dot, dots there. Well, did you see the quote from Josh Allen? Jesse, did you see the quote from Josh Allen? That was kind of crazy.
Well, go share with the class.
That was good.
What was the quote?
I guess somebody asked him about Stephon Diggs being there or whatever. And Josh Allen says, Stephon, I can't say that I miss him being around.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh.
Yeah. So, I mean, being honest, you just don't usually see it like that.
I guess those rumors over the last 2 years were true, huh?
That was crazy.
Is that a quote? No. Oh, well, it's not on the screen.
NFL Network.
Like, there's audio of it.
Yeah. NFL Network did the dot, dot, dot. Says, Stephon Diggs, he's a player, dot, dot, dot. I wouldn't say I miss.
That is what they did. That is comedy. That's comedy. Boy, them dot, dot, dots are a bitch. Oh, my God. James Hamm, your thoughts on the dot, dot, dots?
I'm going to have to check out the dot, dot, dots.
Well,
I'm not a fan.
James Hamm got dot, 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 dot.
He's not a fan.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but I saw that during the break. And I was like,
I will watch
damn,
the video during our transition over to 102.5 to hear what the... what the dots may be masking.
It could have been something like, Stephon, he's a player that I absolutely love. And, you know, he's one of my favorite players. And, you know, I miss him not being here. You know what I'm saying? That's my guy. But when it comes to, like, his shoes, I can't say I miss.
That's a lot of dots, bro. That is a lot of dots right there.
What if that's what it was?
He's a good guy. He stunk, so I couldn't say I miss him.
Oh, rough. Man. It's it's DeMar DeRozan's birthday. Did you send him a text or get him a gift or anything?
DeMar?
Yeah.
No, I haven't. I didn't get to hang out with DeMar because I got sick.
That's right.
That weekend, I was there, but I didn't go sit in for a 1v1 with DeMar because I wasn't filling up to snuff, and I didn't want to get someone else sick.
How many different positions do you think DeMar is playing this year?
Two.
Just two and three?
Yeah. It's 6'6". It's not like I expect him to go out there and play the three. I mean, the four.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he's going to play the one. I mean,
that's the other one I was actually thinking about. It's like, does he ever run the offense?
Well, you've got Fox, you've got Monk, you've got Keon Ellis can play that position. You have Jordan McLaughlin that can play that position. Even Colby Jones in a pinch can play that position, can play the point. And then if you ever get Devin Carter back, he too can play that position. So I just don't know that there's going to be a need. That doesn't mean you're not going to run like point DeMar, like run the ball through him the whole time like you do with Domantas Sabonis. But I'm kind of intrigued to see how he enjoys just like getting the ball out of the basket and going, you know, not playing in the half court the whole time, because I think it can play to some of his strengths, but it just depends. Like it's not going to be an easy transition for him to all of a sudden just be a nonstop transition player.
Right. Yeah. I'm anxious to see just that aspect of it as well, James, but just, you know, how he does in this office in general. I mean, it feels like, you know, between, his skill level and what he brings to the table and somebody like Coach Jay Triano, you know, it could it's crazy to say this at what he turned 36 today, 35?
35.
It's crazy to say this at 35, but it might open his game up even more being with a guy like Triano. I'm a big believer in Jay Triano and what he does on the offensive end, man, and just his creativity and everything. So he's familiar with DeMar's game from their time in Toronto. And I think he might be able to do wonders being linked up with Jay Triano again. Well, Jay Triano drafted him, right? That's what he was.
Yeah, he was his first head coach in Toronto. So yeah, he's definitely very, very familiar with his game. Mm. I think it's going to be, that's going to help. But also, I think playing in a pace and space offense like that is really going to help. Because even, you know, if you get so used to the Kings lining up for 3-point shots the whole night, and then one guy doesn't do that, he takes two steps in and hits from 18. It's just like a different mixture of players. And having different players like that or versatile players like this, I think is great. And someone, Afro in the chat, says DeRozan listed at 220. I'm just saying.
I don't know.
Keegan's listed. It's Afro.
It is Afro in the chat. I don't know what you're talking. Like DeRozan listed at 220. Keegan listed at 215. I would say maybe DeRozan is 220, but Keegan is not 215 anymore at all. Mm. He's much bigger than that. He's probably 230 plus.
Mm. 230. Yeah. Wow. All right.
Yeah, he's a grown boy. Yeah.
There hasn't been as much talk this summer about Keegan. And I know last summer was, you know, Fox taking him under his wing, Uncle Keegs and all this other stuff. And now that I think about it, everybody's been kind of low-key this summer. And I
think it's because DeMar.
Yeah.
That's my guess. Yeah. Well, the panic over Malik and then being able to sign DeMar DeRozan, I would think, Hammer.
Yeah, I also think that last summer there was so much, like, I don't know, good vibes. Like, everything was all good and happy, and everyone loved each other. And, you know, and I, not to say that this summer is like doom and gloom, but you didn't make the playoffs. And so I think that there is a little bit of that, like, hangover and disappointment, and you want to show people that you're doing your work and stuff, but I think you also don't want to show people a whole bunch of like vacation pics and stuff, because social media is a dark place and people will be like, hey man, you did make the playoffs last year. Why aren't you out there, you know, doing what Buddy Hield's doing, you know, like,
cause I would never do what Buddy Hield is doing.
Well, no, his workout videos were like, you know, spectacular. Like he was getting at it like every single off season. Like, and that's what, like, I joke around about Buddy Hield all the time, but I'd never take away how hard of a worker Buddy Hield was. Tremendous, tremendous worker.
Yeah, he's upper echelon when it comes to training. Mm-hmm. With DeMar, if you were Coach James Hamm and you were in the role of Mike Brown, would you tell DeMar, would you encourage DeMar to just come in and like be yourself? Don't change anything. Don't try to adapt. Don't worry how all this come in here and like we acquired DeMar DeRozan, the player. Come in here and be you.
No, that's what you have to do. I mean, I think Mike's going to certainly ask him to shoot a few more threes just because of the flow of the offense and stuff. Mm-hmm. But you don't go out and get a guy with, what, 15 years of NBA experience or whatever it is with DeMar, a guy who's 35 years old, and try to force him into some position that he doesn't understand or he hasn't played his whole career. That would be foolish. The task at hand is to figure out how to minimize spacing issues with him and Sabonis and Fox, and find different ways to get Keegan Murray open or Keon Ellis or, you know, whoever it is that's playing alongside these guys, Kevin Huerter. Like, you want him to be him, but you also, like, you need to point out, like, hey, we need you to be the guy who also averaged, like, well over 5 assists a game. Like, you've got to be all of those guys for us to be successful, because that's kind of what we're banking on. And on top of that, we need you to be a leader, and we need you to help bring, you know, Keegan Murray along, and we need you to be a different voice for Keegan Murray. All of these things, like, encompassed into one. And I think DeMar's got that potential to be that guy. He just kind of has that feel and vibe to him. And certainly he can still play at an incredible level, which we just saw again in, like, the Drew League this weekend.
I mean, yeah, the Drew. I mean, it was a man amongst boys in that one. And he just shows that he's going to be able to score no matter what the setting. Like, obviously the Drew isn't the NBA, but, you know, it doesn't matter. Like, he's a professional scorer. He's a professional bucket getter. And that's the thing that I think about with this offense. Even if it is a little rocky or whatever the case may be, he's going to find a way to score. That's what he does. You know, whether it's getting to the line, whether it's getting to a spot, he's going to find a way to get – I'll bring down the average a little bit just because he's on a different team, but probably going to get 18, 19 points a game. That's just what he's going to do.
I would be surprised if DeRozan isn't over 20 a game this season. Mm. I don't think he'll be taking 17 shots. I think he'll drop down to 15 or so, which is where he was at a couple of years ago. I think that's a lot more comfortable of a spot. But when you have injuries and you have, you know, defensive minded players or limited players like he played with in Chicago, you know, they needed him to be that guy. And if they didn't need him to be that guy, they probably wouldn't have played him 37 minutes a game. You know, he was like almost their everything for the last couple of seasons, especially with LaVine out. So I'm intrigued to see how it all plays out. Like, I want to see the functionality of it. And for as many years as I've seen this team walk into a season and not have the talent to compete at all, this is a season where you understand that they have the talent to compete. You don't know what level that they can compete at, whether it's, you know, top 1, 2, 3, or if it's 3, 4, 5, 6, or 5, 6, 7, 8. But they have a ton of talent. And that's something that, like, I want to see how it functions on the court. It'll be a test, certainly for Mike Brown and his group to figure out ways to put all this together. But I think that they're welcoming that task.
What's the biggest unanswered question for the Kings when as the season approaches?
I think number one is a shooting guard spot. Like, number two, and maybe they do have that answer. I'd say number two is probably how they're going to get around the fact that they still don't have, like, the sheer length and athleticism that some of the teams that they're going to be competing with, whether it's Minnesota or it's OKC or New Orleans, like, these teams have just something that they don't have. This Denver, you know, this mm-hmm. caliber of player, but also that caliber of player in a different, like, build that the Kings still don't have. So you can try to get some guys on the court to mask that a little bit. And, you know, we don't know what Jalen McDaniels will look like on this team. We don't know what Orlando Robinson, like, what he might look like on this team. But that doesn't change the fact that you didn't go out and get guys that are bona fide day one rotational pieces that you understand are rotational pieces that will play, you know, 20 to 30 minutes a night and add something to the table.
Are the Kings, in your opinion, are they kind of finished until training camp starts? Do they have any? Because I know they got the roster spots. Obviously, there's one left, or are they all filled up with the Boogie Ellis signing?
No. So they signed Boogie Ellis. They signed Orlando. Well, they haven't signed Boogie Ellis officially, I don't think. We just got the press release today on Orlando Robinson.
They just signed Mark Brown.
Yeah, that came out today. In between when I left and when I got on with you guys. Mm. Let's see. As of right now, I think they are at 14 or 15 roster spots. But during the preseason, including two-way players, you can carry 21. Mm. So as of right now, I believe they're at 18. They don't have to be done. They can bring in more competition. They still have the ability to like go out and make a trade that's lopsided and bring back more players and then wait for a little while to waive one of those players. It's just kind of the way the summer works. You have to pare down to 15 standard roster players and 3 2 ways at a maximum heading into the season. But as of today, you're allowed to carry more.
They still don't have a coach yet, do they? The G League squad.
No.
Did I admit, they don't have a coach, right?
Yeah.
No, we haven't heard of a coach yet. The coaches that they have brought in, they are not for the G League. They're for the parent club. We're gonna have to wait and see what exactly they do with that G League spot. Although I think they did have an assistant there that they liked that might get a bump up. Mm. But that's kind of not what they've done the last few years. The last maybe 4 or 5 years, they've kind of pulled from their depth at the pro level to give somebody a shot to like maybe get some more experience so they can, you know, they can elevate as an assistant as well.
At least once a day I get like a post and there's Lindsay with JJ. And it's like, what the hell is this? And Duke puts out like Duke's social media team is phenomenal. It's like, all right. I'm going to like it. Just know that I don't really. Like, I'm going to hit the heart. Just know I don't really like this.
Wasn't feeling it, man.
But
damn.
Shout out, Lindsay.
Good luck, Lindsay. I hope you do fantastic. I hope your employer stinks.
Yeah.
Boy, the Lakers were terrible this year, but man, Lindsay Harding was just spectacular as an assistant coach.
That's what I'm rooting for.
Also, let's send JJ back to podcasting.
She was great for the G League. She really was. And she's been a really strong influence in Sacramento the last couple of years. But there comes a point with these guys where you do have to sort of like go out on your own. I mean, Bobby Jackson had to leave and come back. Well, he had to leave in order to get promoted.
Mm-hmm.
He went from, sort of a development coach to like an assistant, but not front of the bench, to the G League. And then in order to get back up and be a front of the assistant coach, he went to Philadelphia and got his opportunity there. I mean, that's just kind of the way the league works.
And this is a step up, right, for Lindsay, being on the first row, that's a higher level than being a G League coach.
I think so, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's much higher. Yeah, yeah. Front of the bench, coach doesn't go coach a G League team very often. That's exactly. She got a huge promotion. If she is front of the bench, I haven't had that confirmed that she's front of the bench, but if she is front of the bench coach, that's a huge step up from where she was the previous year and before the year she was with the G League. Where she was at that year to where she, if she jumped all the way to the front of the bench, that's a big step.
Yeah. Hey, did you guys see Vivek at the Paris games? Shout out to Uncle V.
I didn't.
Yeah, he had his selfies.
He's good for his selfie.
he is at the track and field. Shout out.
He wasn't wearing an Amiri shirt.
Just
saying.
His wardrobe is probably more expensive than mine.
His wardrobe is King's gear.
He was wearing King's gear there.
It's was he?
Pretty much King's gear.
He had a hat for sure.
Yeah, like that's what he does. Like rich people, like that ultra rich people, they don't spend money on clothes.
When he was on the beach saying thank you to Harrison Barnes, he had a King's polo. That was funny. He was on the beach. I just want to say thank you to Harrison Barnes.
I love Vivek.
Uncle V cracks me up, man.
This USA picture was kind of fire. The one that Katie posted. Yeah.
That's a good look.
That was kind of fire. Did you see that, Ham?
Yeah. It's like the high school, like everyone sitting on the bleacher look.
Yeah, with their backpacks and water bottles. That checks out.
I like.
And then Derek White over to the side looks like the parent who had to tag along with everybody.
I like the aspect of these guys kind of like, you know, being a real team and like having like an AAU. It looks like an AAU type experience where, you know, they're at a tournament and they're all hanging together and, you know, and having this experience. I like that with this group.
They're not like, you know, bumming $5 off somebody to get a McDonald's meal or something.
Yeah, did you see
they're not that kind of AAU club.
You see Trista's video that they don't stay in Olympic Village and they're staying at like some $15 million Airbnb, basically.
USA?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the USA's never, the basketball team's never stayed in the Olympic
Did you
Village.
See that video, though, too, that she was talking about the crazy things going on in the
well,
village?
No, I don't need to see that video. but the USA team, starting in 92, when the pros started going, they don't stay at the Village anymore.
Yeah, because even last, in was it Venezuela, where they were out on a cruise ship?
They were in Japan was the last one, but I can't. But they were on a cruise ship for one of them, and I can't remember which one it was.
Yeah.
I keep looking at Devin Booker's hoodie. That is a fire USA hoodie that I've never seen before. It's
I like all the USA
white.
Gear. It's kind of old. It's kind of throwback. The one KD has. He has like the USA basketball crew neck. I kind of like that.
Yeah.
Hmm.
This D'Lo and Casey. We'll recreate this picture. There'll just be like four of us, though.
You do it on the thousands episode with everybody.
Oh, that's a good one. But what steps?
Out here in the hallway.
Oh, we got the steps down. Yeah, they go down
steps. Yeah, we could pull that off. Sorry, as Wells Fargo. Hang on. We got to get Ramsey in place for this picture.
I did get
Ramsey and TC right next to each other for this picture.
I did go walk down those steps the other day to leave after work, and one of the people from the chatty house was hanging out downstairs in the lobby.
Oh, my.
Oh. Yeah. Well.
We might have to move.
Well, we don't encourage that, but hey, you're always welcome.
We might have to move.
You're always welcome.
It was her taking a test somewhere else. I just happened to be right there, like, hi.
There you go.
Be the last day here.
I don't even know what else is here, to be honest with you, besides that Wells Fargo thing I pass every day. I have no clue.
There are people always taking a test here. Yeah, I don't know what the test is.
I don't know what
for.
It is.
I don't know if it's for the bar or what.
We should get to know our neighbors, I guess.
No. Mm.
Of course, we're inside for 7 straight hours, so it doesn't really matter. We appreciate you so much for being with us. We're going to head over to 102.5 KSFM now. We'll hope you'll join us there. If not, we'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m., beginning with the Insiders. Sacramento sports leader, ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Ayuk!
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.